Oh, hey everyone. So sorry for the delay in the episode release. This has been my fault completely.
Yeah, Bob, what the heck?
I've been like reluctant to do my research, but like we've said before, we have hundreds of episodes you can go listen to. So while you're waiting for us to get our shit together, go listen to some other episodes. But we're back here in this timeline, in today's day and age. Oh, Jack, did you see Multiverse of Madness, by the way?
I did.
You did?
I did.
What would you grade it on a letter system? Just curious.
Okay. Well, my own personal enjoyment, I would give it an A. I thought it was a ton of fun, and I love Doctor Strange as a character. And I love Sam Raimi as a director. And I think it was a lot of fun. But I mean, as a Marvel movie and as an actual movie, it had a lot of flaws. But I'm so beyond caring about whether or not Marvel movies are good anymore that I just want them to be enjoyable. And I liked it because it was fun. It was something different. It was something new. I liked that Sam Raimi still was able to have his campy style. Although my brother didn't like that, but I was like, do you know Sam Raimi? I was like, have you ever heard of The Evil Dead? And he was like, no. And I was like, all right, then never mind. You wouldn't get it.
It's funny. So I 100% agree with you on every single thing you said. I feel the exact same way. It was a weird movie, and I loved how weird it was. But we'll save that for a bonus pod someday. I just was curious because we haven't talked about it yet. But anyway.
I enjoyed it, though. Yeah, I do like Doctor Strange. When the Doctor Strange movie came out, from then on, he was like my favorite Marvel
He's
character.
My favorite too. I love Benedict Cumberbatch and role.
He's cool. Him and Thor. I like Thor. Although I like Thor, and then I stopped liking Thor.
We'll see when Love and Thunder comes out this summer, June something. I don't know. But this isn't a Marvel talk show, although it very well could be. What we're going to be talking about today is a little bit more of a brain-boggling subject. And that is, what if time went backwards? So, full disclosure, I don't know anything about science.
I didn't do any research. Know what would happen.
I don't know. Again, but a little bit of a backstory, and I just want to give a shout out to my good friend Biebs, one of my best friends. He and I have had this conversation over the last few months. With our friend group from high school, and it's basically me, Biebs, Ben, and Sam, and we're all arguing with each other about this movie called Tenet by Christopher Nolan. Have either of you guys seen Tenet?
I have seen Tenet like 4 times.
Really?
Yeah, because the first time I watched it, I was like, I forget whenever it got, either it got added to HBO Max or I got HBO Max. One of the two happened, and I was like, oh, Tenet, I've been interested in watching that movie. I had a free weekend at one point, and I watched it once, and I was like, I need to watch this movie again. And then I watched it like 3 more times that weekend.
And Brent, you haven't seen it, right?
No, I have not seen it.
All right, this will be fun then. So I'm glad you've seen it, Jack, because I am curious to see what you think of this concept. So before we get into the discussion, we should probably introduce ourselves. If you have not heard this podcast before, this is Brain Boggled with BB and J, and I am your back in time Bobby.
You got one, Jack?
Oh, yeah. I am your jumpstart Jack. It seems like it fits.
All right. I'm going to go conceptual on mine. All right. So hang with me here.
Okay.
Sernurb T, your am I?
I love it.
Okay.
That was so good. All right. Thanks for listening to the end of this podcast.
It's my name backwards.
Oh, good.
So
one,
you can find
one.
Our socials, Instagram. No, I'm just trying to run off Brent's joke.
Lol.
And then another quick shout out before we get into it. I realized I hadn't plugged this yet. My band released an album, and I totally haven't plugged it yet on this podcast, which I don't know why. But Brent did all the mixing and all the engineering, and it came out really good. It's called Sun. So check it out. Look up When Without. And you can find that album there.
Yeah, look up Sun. Find that, nothing else?
S-U-N, Sun. But also, speaking of Spotify, apparently you can give 5-star ratings on podcasts for Spotify now.
Oh,
so if you're a Spotify listener, find us on there and give a 5-star, please.
Yes, please do.
Finally, it's about damn time.
Pitch is out of the way. Oh, thank God. So we're in it now. We're in the topic of this episode. And so for those of you who haven't seen the movie Tenet, stop what you're doing. No, don't do that. It's not that good. It is interesting, but if you don't want to be spoiled, pause here, go watch the movie and come back.
It's a better thought experiment than it is a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not a great movie. The timeline doesn't make a lot of sense. The story doesn't have a lot of meaning, and the characters aren't great.
Oh, there's no, it's, I think it's like the most vapid movie I've ever seen in my life, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty hollow. But I will say, like you said, Jack, the thought experiment portion of it is really fun. And so the idea of the movie is basically they kind of just plop you into this world where you're following a secret agent who he's on this mission and he doesn't really know who he's working for. I think it's the CIA, but he doesn't really know what the mission is.
What can you tell me? What do you got from me?
So
I have nothing but a gesture and a word. And then they lace their fingers together and they go, Tenet. And you're like, what does that mean?
Oh, you really know this movie well. I love it.
I've seen it 4 times, Bob.
I wasn't expecting that at all. So that's great because you can help me out because I'm going to butcher it. So long story short, we're just going to kind of sum up the movie real quick.
You can sum it. I mean, you can sum a guy, it up real quick.
It's hard to wrap your head around, but there's a guy and he has a mission to basically stop another guy from using this thing called the algorithm, which basically ends the world because there is a machine, a technology that was invented where you can invert your entropy. And so you can move backwards through time.
And so,
and to you, you're perceiving it as forward time, but you're moving backwards. And everyone else is seeing you like walking backwards.
Yeah. Well, so the way that the plot, quote unquote, that the movie hinges on is that this inversion, they use radiation to invert themselves, right? Is that this technology doesn't exist. And then in the future, they invented it.
Yeah, it was created like 300 years in the future or something.
Yeah, it was created 300 years in the future, and they used that technology to wage a war. And that war, like, destroyed the Earth. It was basically like an apocalyptic nuclear type thing, except instead of the regular radiation that we know, it was this inversion radiation. And so scientists know that this future war is coming because they found like rubble and debris from this war that was irradiated from these weapons and is now traveling backwards in time. And so they're like, oh, what? Like, at first they were like, oh, what the heck is this? And then they put the pieces together to figure out that there was a war. And so then there are bad guys in the future who now like control the world and use this inversion technology to send stuff back and forth from the past and the future. Like, there's specific spots where they drop stuff and they send stuff back and forth to make money and to control stuff.
And so basically, isn't the main part of one of the main plot points is that the future, correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, the future, they have destroyed the Earth. And the only way to fix their world is to invert the entire world into backwards time.
I don't know.
Which would destroy the past.
No. The way that I interpreted it is that the inventor of the algorithm, right?
That is the inversion technology. And he destroyed all traces of it in his future so that the new past that they're trying to mess with, the past can't happen, and therefore they're in like a new timeline where the future ending inversion war doesn't happen.
Oh, it's so confusing. So but, if like, you watch which, the movie, like, it's really hard to understand.
It's basically all just a convoluted way for Christopher Nolan to be able to play with time in his movie.
Yeah, so you get things
that's
in the
all
movie.
That's all that matters is blah 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 blah. Christopher Nolan gets to play with time in his movie.
Yeah, and so you get things like the bullet scene, the notorious bullet scene, where they kind of explain in the beginning of the movie, and this is kind of for you, Brent, to wrap your head around it a little bit. The lady has two bullets. And the lady, by the lady, I mean this, one of the scientists studying.
Her name is probably Scientist Lady.
Yeah, it's Scientist Lady. She's actually, there's a theory that she's the one who invented the algorithm. But anyway, she's playing with an inverted bullet and a normal bullet. And she says to the main character, do you see a difference between these two bullets? And he's like, no, they're the same thing. She's like, well, one of them's inverted and one of them is not. And so one of them is currently moving backwards through time and the other one is moving forwards. And so when she starts moving her hand, the bullet starts following her in reverse. So she's able to control the bullet.
Yeah. There's a really cool part where she's like, try to pick it up. And he holds his hand over it. And he's like, I'm not picking it up. And she's like, well, that's because you never dropped it. And then he like just gets it at that point. And then he's like, oh, instinct. And yeah. And then they say the famous line where she goes, try not to think about it. Mm-hmm. But everybody loves that line out of context because it's like, yeah, don't think about the movie. But in context, it makes way more sense because she's saying, don't think about it, feel it. As in, like, if you're like
act as if you're dropping it. That like you, I think it's kind of like an intent thing. Like you have to have intent on like picking up the bullet by like acting as if you dropped it. It really doesn't make any sense. Because
you can
the
get
person
it if you,
isn't inverted.
If you drop something, like if you literally drop something and then just like freeze right when you drop it and then try to reverse it yourself, you can kind of get it.
Yeah.
What she means by like, don't think about it, feel it.
Well, can you straight flip it and reverse it? That's what I want.
Only if you can work it, though.
So let me just explain real quick to some people who don't understand entropy. It's a really confusing concept.
There's billions and billions of atoms and
Basically,
millions of protons.
Let me just read a website that kind of like tries to explain it. Entropy in a nutshell is time's arrow. So basically, you've got like a bunch of molecules, and the natural progression of those molecules over time is for them to become more disordered. So, like, say you have I don't know, it's like a glass of water, and you drop the glass. So when the glass shatters, that is kind of entropy. Like the fact that it's like breaking apart and moving apart from itself and creating chaos and disorder, that's entropy. So obviously the glass is never going to just like re-put itself back together, because things get more disordered over time. Things expand and get crazier over time. And it kind of makes sense because it's a probability thing. It's like, what are the odds that you drop something and it's going to all, like, the molecules are going to perfectly fit into place in a specific way? Entropy is basically, over time, different reactions happen, and the probability of those things happening the same way every time means it's not going to organize itself in a way that makes sense, which is kind of why the universe is the way it is. The Big Bang, you know, that the whole life on Earth and the gases and molecules and nuclear stars that have been created by the Big Bang are all kind of a cause of disorder in the universe. it's a little hard to wrap your head around, but yeah, so basically, like, it's the second law of thermodynamics. And let me look that up, what it is real quick. So the second law of thermodynamics basically, let's see. The second law of thermodynamics states that as energy is transferred and transformed, more and more of it is wasted. Basically, over time, like, entropy is getting more and more disorganized. So a solid, now Beebs is going to come and say, Bobby, you're butchering this.
But I think they're just trying to use entropy as, like, as entropy is just sort of like cosmic movement and particle movement, right?
Yeah.
Like molecular movement, entropy is, because entropy means chaos, right? Yeah. And it so basically, it's basically just like a fancy science word for the natural order of things and like fate kind of.
Yeah.
And so the reversal of the entropy, I think, is supposed to just be like, okay, what if you is supposed to be a scientific way to reverse someone's personal experience of time. Like if your entropy down to a molecular level was reversed, that it was inverted, then you would essentially be moving backwards, mm-hmm. through the time.
But I had this conversation with Biebs, and he brought up an interesting point. He was like, if you reversed all entropy, like, time, it doesn't matter whether or not time runs forward or backwards. It's all about which direction entropy goes in. So, like, if time doesn't actually have an arrow, it's just we perceive time as based on how things react from one state to the next. And so because entropy goes in this direction, that's the flow of time for us. Because I don't think there really is necessarily such thing as time. It's just how we perceive it. And in the movie, you are reversing your entropy and everyone else isn't. So you see things backwards. But if everyone was reversed, it would seem normal, even though you're going backwards in time, technically. So it's really odd. But I just wanted to kind of give a brief explanation of entropy.
Yeah. Well, a really simple way to explain how the movie works is it's like cars on a road on a multi-lane highway.
Yeah.
And all the cars are driving in one direction, and then inversing your entropy is like one car all of a sudden starts driving in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
If all of the cars started driving in the other direction, nobody would know that anyone had switched around.
That's
but
a good point.
If a few cars swap and they start going, then they're going to get, you know, 30 feet apart on the highway. If the other cars turn around, they're still going to be 30 feet behind them, even though they're all now going the same direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the way that you, if you, depending on when you get inverted or not, you can like be split up from people in the time stream, and that's how they essentially quote unquote time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can only it's actually kind of interesting because in the movie Tenet you can only time travel backwards and at real time.
You can't speed up or slow down.
And if you want to time travel forwards, you have to just do regular be
so you still go
experience
through,
time regularly.
You experience 2 weeks. So, like, let's say you go back in time a week by going
Bob,
backwards.
If you wanted
for a
to
week.
Go back to last Friday, it would take you 7 days in reverse time to get back to last Friday.
And then to get back to the first Friday, you have to just experience the normal time. You can't fast forward. You have to just relive those.
Yeah,
7 days.
Now you've experienced two more weeks for a net gain of zero.
Yeah.
Days in time.
Yeah, so the movie does a lot of interesting things, and it made me think a lot. And basically, one of the cool things is the main character has to be inverted to go backwards a week. And one of the things they tell him is, okay, you're going to feel really weird because everything's going to be seeming to move backwards, but you're really the thing moving backwards. When you run, you're going to feel the wind on your back as you run forward, which I thought was really interesting, because you're the thing technically going backwards, so you would feel the physical force of wind as you run forward behind you. So they're basically saying, like, yeah, you're going to feel really odd. And then all these things happen in the movie. So one of the weirder things, and this is kind of a debate that I got in with Biebs, is so in the movie, if you are going in normal time, let's say like this, like our life, like normal progression of time, and someone who is inverted shoots a bullet at you, you're going to see the bullet hole before the bullet is shot, because they already shot the bullet in their time, but in your time they haven't shot it yet. So you would see a bullet hole of the aftermath of them shooting at you, but you don't see the bullet yet. So there's all these like things you can see in the movie where like damage has happened that hasn't occurred. And so in the movie, there's a scene where he's in a car and there's a bullet hole in the mirror of the car. And it hadn't happened yet. And then he's driving, and at some point, one of the people that's in reverse shoots, and it goes back into the gun. So for that person's timeline, you know, he shot it forward. But for everyone else's timeline, it went backwards. And then the mirror is clear, and there's no bullet hole anymore. So my question to Biebs was, okay, so in this world where time runs backwards, you're telling me that that bullet hole is now going to be in the mirror all the way back to the manufacturing of the car? At what point does that bullet hole disappear?
I think the bullet hole goes back to the manufacturing of the bullet.
But when did the bullet hole get there in normal time?
When the bullet was manufactured. Whenever the bullet was inverted, the bullet, the casing, to create an inverted bullet, you put an empty casing into a gun, right? That's essentially what you're doing. I mean, you put it through a machine or whatever, but you would take a bullet. We effectively don't know how they do it, but essentially what happens is you put a bullet in a machine, and what you take out is an empty casing, and then you put that empty casing in a gun, and then
right.
So what you've done was you've taken that bullet and you've gone and put it wherever the person has shot it. So now this magical bullet has predetermined where it's been shot, or it exists nowhere until the magical will of the human behind the trigger wills that radioactive inverted bullet out of the ether and into the target that it needs to be caught from.
So I think that's kind of what Biebs was saying, was that like there's kind of this point where the normal time of flow of time and the backwards flow of time meet, and that is the moment when the bullet hole shows up.
Yeah, it makes no sense. The inverted time makes absolutely no sense for the
way it doesn't make
work.
Any sense. It's so confusing, because like I kept like trying to wrap my head around that. I'm like, when did the hole get in the glass?
You have to have teleporting bullets at some point.
Yeah, you do. It doesn't make any sense.
And magically. Like, because you see it in, like, we see it with the dude, like, we can see it because people get shot, where at one point he just starts bleeding.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh, well, there was at some point where he just got a hole in him.
Yeah.
And he started,
it doesn't make any sense.
At the same point where he got the hole in him, the bullet must have also appeared in behind wherever he was when he then got shot, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but again, it's like whatever.
That's kind of how I feel about the movie. It's a very interesting thing to think about, but yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I mean, we see it with maybe, okay. This is, Brent, I'm about to spoil the end of the movie. I honestly do not care.
We spent the entire first year of our podcast talking about Interstellar and I had not seen it.
So the main character, whose name is literally, he's credited as protagonist, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, they never say his name.
No, he says, I'm the protagonist. And then he kills that woman.
Yeah, he does say that.
It's the stupidest thing ever. It's actually a callback to an earlier line where they have a conversation, but like it shouldn't be his goddamn name.
No.
But anyway, the movie starts. Okay, by the way, Brent, this movie has the craziest start of all time. They bust into some like they start and he's like six levels of undercover. He is an American undercover agent who is pretending to be a terrorist and these terrorists are pretending to be Russian police so that they can, and he's pretending to be this terrorist so that he can get some information. The deal goes bad. They find out that he's actually an American. They're now interrogating him in a train yard. You can't hear a goddamn thing.
But the people interrogating him are the same people that he thought he was on the mission with, by the way.
Yes.
It's like a double cross.
It's like he thought that
classic Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. They kill his partner that he was with. And then he takes a cyanide pill, and they're like, no, don't let him take the cyanide pill. He wakes up in a hospital bed on a boat with some dude in a suit who's like, good morning. Welcome. He goes, welcome to heaven. And the first thing this man says when he wakes up after all that is, suicide pills are fake? I was like, what is it? Who wrote this movie?
It's so weird.
All of that that just happened was so that, because it was, what that was that suicide pills are actually the ultimate test, are the ultimate recruitment, that like once you've done that, they know that they can trust you with anything, and like your old life is dead and you're now put into the secret like times unit. Who nobody knows who started it. And so that's who Robert Pattinson is. Robert Pattinson comes in and is like, I'm your partner, mate. I'm blonde now, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm literally in this movie to have fun while I'm getting a paycheck, right? And he's great. They like,
no, he's the best one in the movie.
Into a woman's like skyrise apartment. When I say this movie is vapid, it's literally like, it's like they were like, what's the coolest way they can do this? And they're like, they need to break into the most heavily defended skyscraper in all of New Delhi, India, right? And they are like, oh, what if we bungee jumped in, you know? And they're like, from a plane? And he's like, no. And so they like slingshot themselves up
using
an
inverted bungee.
Using an inverted bungee, and then they sling themselves up into the building where they get this man at gunpoint, and because they're supposed to be, they're trying to have a meeting with the most notorious arms dealer in all of India, or whatever, you know.
It's some Christopher Nolan thing.
They have this man at gunpoint, and they're like, "Tell us who did you sell the radioactive bullets to?" And this woman comes in, and he's like, talk or blah blah blah, and the woman's like, I will talk business once you put my husband down. And you're like, oh, the woman's the yeah. powerful arms dealer,
it's the wife.
And then the situation is instantly diffused, and they have a conversation like normal people. And I was like, this is the most mess.
It's so
and
weird.
So, and because she makes fun of him, she's like, she in that scene, she's like, you're not going to figure this out. You're not the protagonist of this story. Like you think this whole thing is a story and you think you're the protagonist, but you're not, which is weird because yes, the whole thing is a story and yes, he is the protagonist.
Yeah. It ends up being like, long story short, spoiler alert. The protagonist ends up being like the Time Lord.
He ends up being in charge of everything. I was so ranted out by that. I forgot what my ultimate point was.
I think the point was just how weird the movie is.
No. The point was we were talking about magically appearing bullets and magically appearing time reversal stuff. Was that at the end? Yeah. So at the end, right? Protag is about to die or whatever. And then Deus Ex Machina out of nowhere
some guy comes out and unlocks some door who you're like, what? Where did this get? And then he unlocks a door and blocks a bullet that kills him that was going to kill the protag. And then you're like, what the heck? Who was that? Turns out that was Robert Pattinson, because protag hired Robert Pattinson's been inverted from like years ago and has been, and he's like, oh, we're actually old friends, protagonist. You hired me like you hire me in like 10 years. This whole operation is actually your thing. You're the big, you're the guy, and you sent all of us to make you start the whole thing in the end. And then also we just saw Robert Pattinson's dead body magically appear and then come back to life and then also get shot in the head after he picked a lock real quick for this guy. And also then the protagonist is like, wait, that was you in there. That's when you die. You're like, you're going to die in there at some point because you're going to do another mission to save me because I'm going to send you to save me because then Robert Pattinson walks away and is like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's super weird. And the whole battle, I don't understand what's going on, but basically like they're battling themselves. There's like a whole army of backwards people battling.
No, they're not battling themselves. Who are they fighting? Two units. They're fighting rich guy's army. They're fighting, so they don't know what they're going to, what they're going into. Right. So they have two units. They sent an advanced unit into the future and then inverted them 2 weeks ago or two weeks in the future so that they have one unit fighting backwards and one unit one unit going in. And so that's what the red team and the blue team are. The red team and blue team are actually both on the same team. And it's because there's an inversion machine in there. I forget why. There is a
so
reason.
Dumb.
There was a reason why they needed to be inverted or something. But they're like, oh yeah, make sure you like if you see there and so they actually it's kind of interesting.
This is why Jack has seen this four times. He just needs to like.
It's because it's been in my brain, dude. When the forward team lands, they see the inverse team leaving the mission that they are just about to go and complete.
It's so it's weird. And one of the other things too is like all the buildings are like already collapsed, and so it's so weird because the buildings will like reform, like they'll fix themselves because they haven't been blown up yet, and then they'll blow them up again. So a building will like go back to normal and then blow up. It's just so
okay. There's actually
weird.
There's a scene that scene where that skyscraper tower gets blown up. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually way more. I think it was so. It went against the human concept of time so much that people didn't even understand what they were seeing.
I couldn't comprehend that scene. That I had to think about it a lot.
Was that it? You see a perfectly intact skyscraper blow up. Reverse and then blow up in a different spot.
Yeah, it's so weird. I should see if I can find it. We'll show Brent.
You can definitely find the video, I'm sure. And it's like, and when you watch it, at first you just think, oh, it just played forward and then backward, but it doesn't. It's two different explosions with one playing forward and one playing backward, both on the same. And then you're like, oh. And then once you realize that, you're like, oh, how did they even do that?
Yeah, it's so confusing.
It's so confusing that it doesn't even look like anything.
No, video it's really confusing. Wait, it's not available.
Oh no, you have to go to the link. You can't watch it in the.
You have to click on the link. Brent, just watch this video.
The movie so far,
well, that's the kind way. Of the whole. That was kind
hey,
of the whole
you
point.
You can just have this video. Hold on, it's actually this whole video. This video is the whole battle. You can just have it on mute in the background.
Yeah, just if you have not seen this movie and you don't care about it, go on YouTube and look up The War with the Future, Tenet, and you'll find like the battle. And it's just so interesting visually to watch like these. Like some guy will get like sucked into a wall that was reverse exploded. Like I'm watching it right now. It happens at like 3:24. It is so interesting. And so the reason I wanted to talk about this concept on the podcast is because it's just so unfamiliar to us as humans of entropy and the direction of time that we go in, that it's hard to wrap your head around the backwards flow of time. And so that's what makes this movie so interesting, is that it's, you just think about it. Like, you don't even know what you're thinking about. You're just like, I'm trying to figure this out and I can't. And yes, it doesn't make sense. There's plot holes. I mean, for example, like, they go into battle and, like I said, the building is already blown up, and then it like reverses and it like goes back in and it like hurts some people doing that. So like, if you're in the normal timeline, at what point did the building blow up in normal time? You know, it's like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, if you're if you're a third party watching this, what is it? What does it look
like?
Which
you are.
So Bobby, when you so are you talking about time flowing backwards like in Tenet, or
yes, like exactly like in Tenet? Like if you were I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like like if time flowed backwards, if you could go through time backwards, what would it be like? Like, so your heart's beating normal, your blood and your cells are doing their normal function because your entropy is reversed. There's one scene in the movie, Jack. Remember when he gets in like a car explosion? And because entropy is reversed, he like gets hypothermia from the heat.
Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot about that. That part makes absolutely no sense.
No, it doesn't.
I guess it makes sense. They didn't explain it well, I think, but hot and cold don't exist really. There is just molecules
hotter than and colder than.
Yeah. There's just molecules with energy and molecules with less energy. And so I think that what they're trying to say is, normally if you were next to a fire, it would warm you up, but since you're flowing backwards, since your entropy is backwards,
it's sucking the heat from you.
However, I don't understand how that like puts out the fire and turns things to ice. Like it like generates ice. We see
that made no sense because it wouldn't generate ice. Unless your like sweat is what's, because your sweat's backwards, I guess.
Unless they're saying that your body got so cold that you were freezing everything around you, in which case he should be dead, shouldn't he? But like,
yeah, that made no sense.
The fire generating ice doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, so like if I know this is confusing, again, I'm so sorry, people listening. This is the point of this is that it's confusing, and bear with us. It's a fun topic though. So something that's more solid is actually has lower entropy, and something that's like liquid has higher entropy, and the highest form of entropy is a gas. Basically, that means something solid is less likely to become disorganized quickly because it's a solid thing, but over time it will eventually degrade. It will eventually dissolve and fade into chaos, essentially. And so that happens quicker and quicker the more gaseous a thing becomes. And I don't know even where I was going with that, but I guess it's interesting because I was watching a video at entropy and it was like, you would think that ice is more chaotic than water. You would think that like a big like a cup full of like crushed ice is less organized than like a cup of water. But what happens is, because of entropy, that ice would melt. And the melting process is basically, over time, it is bouncing around and creating heat and being more and more spread out and random to the point where it melts into a liquid. And so the liquid form of the water is a more disorganized version than the ice was. Even though we would see ice as more of like a, oh, this is a big broken chunk of glass shattered, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like a really interesting topic to try to wrap your head around. And so there was, I forget, I'm not a scientist, don't quote me on anything, But I was one of the videos I watched was talking about how some scientists think that like negative electrons could be basically the same thing as positive electrons, but like going backwards in the way they interact with each other. The reason things are like opposite and like repel against each other is because negative has reverse entropy. And I wonder, you know, we talk about dark matter. I wonder if dark matter has anything to do with like the like backwards physics. You know what I mean? Oop, just lost my mic. So I don't know. I don't even know where to go with it. It's just like an interesting thing to kind of process. Like when you step into like the sand and you like kick the sand comes flying back at you. Like if you're going backwards in time, like how does that make sense? But I guess you're the one backwards. Ah! My brain's about to explode. I don't know what even is happening. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I was just watching that video and I don't know what the fuck was going
exactly.
on. There's some cool visuals in there though, I'll give you that, but I don't know at all what I was watching.
So let me ask you boys a question. Do you think in a future where we have mastered physics, it would be possible to go backwards in time? Or do you think that's impossible?
No, I don't think it's possible.
Pretty straightforward answer. I like it. I don't either, but I don't know. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest, this is not like a subject I've dedicated a ton of thought to, so my opinion would be solely based on instincts. And I have a tendency to agree with you boys, but it's not really based in anything other than it's just how I feel. Yeah. It's just how I feel. It's not, there's no science. I have no like hypothesis as to why I feel that way. That's just the way I feel.
Because that's just how I feel. Yeah. I don't know. I think about like wormholes and stuff and how, you know, like the interstellar concept, when you get closer to a black hole, how time, because time is relative, it starts to appear like it's slowing down because of the force of gravity. I do wonder if it is all just perception based, and if you were able to somehow invert your entropy, if to you, you could experience time in reverse. And because that's really what it is like time itself isn't a thing. Time itself is like the canvas, and entropy is like the direction in which you're drawing the line, you know? Like time doesn't care which direction it's going. It's all about how you perceive chemical reactions over time.
Well, yeah, because time, the only thing that's really happening that it gives us the only evidence of time is anything changing.
Yeah, from one point to another point.
And that's what entropy is like the constant change of everything, the constant desire for everything to ultimately disorganize itself.
It sounds
misleading because it just means like it's just because there's no
it's probability
natural, in probability there's no natural order. Really?
Well, like, think of it this way. It's like if you, think of entropy like this. It's like if you had a bag of sand and you know those boards where you like drop a bunch of marbles and they'll like go into like, you know, they'll hit different like whatevers, dowels that organize it into different sections. It almost always ends up kind of spreading across the board. And in a world where entropy wasn't disorganizing, if you dropped all the balls into those slots, there was a really high probability they could all land in the same row. But because of entropy, there's so many different possible ways things could go that the probability is more likely that they're going to fall in this exact kind of like almost like a hill pattern, where most of them are in the middle, but some of them are on the sides and less of them are on the outside. But it's still disorganized. It's possible that they would land in a way that's like a really, really weird configuration where it's like all high on one side and then it goes diagonally down, but it's very, 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 very unlikely. The same kind of concept as like how you can like stick your hand through a wall. If you like did it like 7 trillion times, eventually there's like the odds of your fingers moving in the perfect way where the molecules surpass each other is like technically possible, but it would never happen in our lifetime because it's such a small chance. Like there is a chance. I joke about this with Ben all the time. There's a technically a chance. It's not zero that you could like that your foot could just like phase through the floor because of the way the molecules moved. But it's very, 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 very unlikely because it's like one in a Googleplex to the 10th.
Yeah, every single molecule in your foot and the board would have to line up, and all of their molecular movements would have to line up for the time in between your foot. And by the time it takes your foot to fall through, which would be an incredibly long time on a molecular level,
it wouldn't last all the way. Yeah. So it's
astronomically close to zero, but it's not zero.
So the probability of it being like your foot landing on the ground is most likely what's going to happen.
It's how the Flash phases through solid material.
Yep. And that's kind of why, chemistry is so reliable when you put this one amount of a thing into a different chemical and you combine them, you're pretty sure that it's going to have this exact reaction because of entropy, because things happen in the same disorganized way every single time. And we can thank entropy for why the universe is the way it is. We can thank it for the reason certain chemicals have been created in the universe. The reason that the universe is constantly expanding is because of entropy. And I don't know, it's just really interesting to think about a world where entropy is reversed and you would perceive it in reverse.
Think of a world.
Like, imagine if when we all died, you would re-experience your life, but backwards. But to you, it was normal. Like, it was like a Benjamin Button situation, but to you, you're like, I just got old, and then you're going backwards in time, and you're like doing everything backwards, and you're eating backwards, and then you like poop up your food. I'm not gonna lie,
the thought of it makes me feel like I'd throw up.
But you wouldn't. You'd throw in. So, you'd throw down.
And I'd be like, I would throw in, and then I'd throw up, and then I'd be caught in an infinite loop.
But like in this world where you're reversed,
you've described hell to me, but I can't lie. Okay. It sounds hellish. I'm not gonna lie.
Jack is crying, shaking, and throwing up, and throwing up, and shaking, and crying.
Yeah.
So we've actually talked about this before. Do you remember we did an episode about the Big Bang?
Nope.
And we talked about the theory that the Big Bang happens, everything expands, and then there's a possibility that maybe it collapses in on itself, and then it keeps happening over and over and over again like a beating heart. So what if it is that we get to a certain point in the Big Bang where everything has maxed out its entropy, everything's all the way out, and then it starts to recollapse in on itself? Is it possible that that would just be the exact same thing but opposite? And that we would all be reborn through death, and we'd all experience time backwards and be miserable and be like, blah, 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 blah. And then we'd get unborn. And then this is just the better one. This is just the better way of it happening. And that cause and effect is actually not at all in our control, and it's all fate. And that this is all just going to happen over and over and over again. We're going to experience time forward and backward and forward and backward until the end of all ends forever and ever. Would that be possible? I say it's possible.
I'm going to say no, because that's hell. That sounds like hell.
It sounds horrible. But I guess if that was your whole life, you might not know anything different, so maybe you wouldn't care. I don't know.
Well, it's not just your whole life. It's everything. Why make it about yourself at that point?
True.
What matters? I don't know. It's hard to say that in a well, because then you'd have to start talking about, like, oh, are we truly... Because then we wouldn't truly be sentient, or we'd have to redefine sentience.
wouldn't even matter, because how many times have we defined sentience then at this point?
I know, that's true. Like, if we discovered everything and then undiscovered it, like, I don't know, would people be upset, like, after they had a baby, because the baby would go in back in and you'd be like, oh no, you know? But you wouldn't, because you'd be thinking backwards too. So the thing that doesn't make sense is you'd be hanging out with your friends and you'd be like, why am I hanging out with my friends? And then you find out later, oh yeah, hey, do you want to hang out? You know, I don't know, but it'd be backwards. I feel like we've run dry on this conversation.
No, it doesn't make sense, Bob, because it just completely goes against our base nature. Understanding of cause and effect, which is like the basis of how you understand the world. Mm-hmm. So,
dude, honestly, it's very hard to wrap your head around. And that's why this movie is so interesting to watch, because you kind of can't wrap your head around it. And that's what's kind of cool about it.
You might even say it's a brain boggling.
Ew, that's the name of the show. And on that note, I think to keep it shorter, we should end there. I've been thinking about this topic a lot, and it's not really very organized, but I guess that's pretty on theme because it's entropy that we're talking about. So, if you want to listen to more of us, you can subscribe to our podcast or follow us on Spotify. You can give us a 5-star rating, like Brent was saying earlier now, which is pretty cool on Spotify, or you can give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show. Go watch Tenet. Send us an email of what you think of the movie and what you thought about when you were watching it at brainboggledpodcast@gmail.com. You can also just pop in and say hello. Give us some suggestions for other shows. We've been doing this podcast for over 3 years now, and we ain't gonna stop. We might take long breaks, but we ain't gonna stop. So make sure to follow us on our social medias and follow us along. And Brent, what are those social medias? I always forget them.
At BrainBoggled and at BrainBoggledPod. Try both of them in Instagram and Twitter and figure out which one goes to which.
Yep. You guys can figure it out.
My camera's out of focus.
You know, we should probably just change them to be the same thing, then we won't have to worry about it. But
it's too late. We can't.
We'll probably still forget.
Well, it's BrainBoggled Pod for the Twitter, but apparently BrainBoggled was not available on Twitter, hence the pod.
Who the heck else took it? Whatever.
Someone's sitting on it. Yeah.
Whatever.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for listening. Yep. See ya.